This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from AOPA Summit at Hartford, Connecticut. And today I'm with Inji Zhang, who is director of AOPA for China. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We'd like to find out a little bit about what's going on in GA in China, kind of an outlook overview briefing. I understand there are about 1,000 GA airplanes in China, and what's the nature of the fleet there and the activity there, and where's it going?
1,000 airplanes, that probably include a good number of turbine airplanes and smaller GAs as well. Not much of a fleet, if you ask me. They were acquired during different periods of time. Many of them belong to flight school, government-run flight school. The outlook is, I guess, great. You know, depending on who you talk to, some people are more conservative. Some people are more very optimistic, but the outlook are all pretty good. They are looking at, they're saying 20-30% growth each year.
And what about the infrastructure there? You told me you recently flew part of a round-the-world trip that went through China. What do you have in the way of existing airports and airports that are building that can serve general aviation?
I just constantly shuffle these numbers in my mind. I'm not maybe 2,000 airports in China. The nature of the airports are they're bigger airports, tend to be bigger. They used to be all military owned and run. Now many are, you know, handed over to the civilian aviation, commercial aviation. They're big airports and they're very busy. My impression is they're the commercial ones are running to their full capacity. When we were there, everybody on the radio were talking about ground delays, and there were ground delays. And the reason for that is because the airports are running at high capacity. If you throw in some bad weather, there might be delays. So we definitely need more airports, and they're building more.
Now, as far as learning to fly in China, for an average person, is that a doable thing these days, and how does it work?
It is, and I know some people do it. It costs a lot more. It probably on an average basis, it costs about, I would say, three times as much, three to four times as much as it does here. There are flight schools in China, bigger, not many of them. And they're all geared toward training airline pilots. But if you go in as a private citizen, you want to get your private license, you can do that. And many people come out of the country to places like the U.S., Canada, and Australia to get their licenses. And they also send many students to train outside the country for airlines as well.
And you mentioned that quite a lot of the activity in China and quite a lot of the growth is business aviation, turbines, and jets. Going to continue to be the case, and where do you see that going?
In the near future, I think that'll be the case. The real purchases and the big orders are being filled in that section. People are buying super large cabin jets, and recently it's starting to come down to a slightly smaller cabin. By that, I mean super mid-size, maybe. And that's the trend in the business aviation section. And for the piston section, a lot of people are more than ready to buy, but we still have to wait a little bit more for the aerospace infrastructure to mature or to be more GA compatible. We probably need a few more GA airports. And most importantly is we need more airways that are open to GA flight.
Let's talk a little bit about regulation and airspace there. You mentioned that in some parts of the country it is possible to fly VFR, but probably not over great distances. So how does all that work?
Well, they started by opening up spots, in airspace that's probably, let's say, 3,000 feet high, and 10-20 kilometers in radius. which obviously surrounds a smaller airport, and they start to do that kind of things. There are spots like that, and then the government expands it to a region. You know, for instance, the Shanghai region, for example. Shanghai is not one of them, but just imagine a broader area surrounding a city or a number of airports, and they start to relax on the rules in those airspace and allow GA flights, and monitor it and learn in the process and to build the new rule book. But so far, these are only spots, and what we need the next is linkage between these spots, and then eventually build that into a entire area.
And what kind of time frame do you see that happening over?
They're doing things pretty quickly. I mean, not as quickly as people are hoping for, especially those who are looking to sell and do business there. But considering the amount of work that goes into it, I think they're doing things pretty quickly. And that's generally the sense in China, because they do things quickly. And the government's official timeline right now is by 2015. They will basically put in the entire structure for the entire nation for GA flights.
And how about GA manufacturing, aircraft manufacturing in general? What do you think is the general intent there as far as building an industry?
There are interests to tap into that manufacturing business as well. Our traditional way of doing it is through joint venture. We're doing it with Cessna. The Cessna 162 are manufactured there, very much with Embraer on the regional jet, corporate jet level, and then it goes up to even larger jets. We have people manufacturing smaller piston aircraft as well. Not as many, not as popular, but there are definitely interest in manufacturing across the whole spectrum of aircraft.
And a little bit about you personally. You're a Chinese national, but you're trained in the U.S., educated in the U.S. You've got commercial and instrument ratings?
Yes, I do. My whole flight training was in the U.S. I got my primary training done in 2004 and kept adding up more ratings and licenses. It's a hobby, it's a passion. So the interesting thing is when we were flying through China with my friend, I had to call up an Air China pilot to go over the languages, the ATC language in Chinese, because it's the same phrases, same way of thinking, but except it's all Chinese. And being an American trained pilot, I wasn't even familiar with those, but I got used to it quickly.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the update.
Thank you very much.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from AOPA Summit at Hartford, Connecticut. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.